The stars are brightly shining. This is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming. We're going to have a service of carols and readings, hopefully with a minimum of introduction, so I'll just be advising you to stand or sit, and hopefully that we'll just be able to go through the evening and allow the Lord to speak to us through these carols, familiar as they are, a song or two that we will sing for you, and scriptures that will be read to you. So let's sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie.
Praises sing to you. blessings of his hand. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Oh, holy child,
in darkness has seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Let's stand again.
People who walk in darkness can see a great light. For those who live in the land and the shadow of death, the light will shine. To the nation and increase their joy, so they delight in your presence as they will rejoice at harvest time. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Of his government and peace always be increased. There is no end to his kingdom. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will be called Wonderful
in darkness.
People who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of the shadow of death, the light will shine. You will enlighten the nation. A child is born, to us a son is given, and the covenant will be upon his shoulders. Of his government and peace, there will always be increase. There is no end to his kingdom.
called.
You will be called Wonderful Counselor. You're the mighty, mighty, mighty God.
Everlasting Father,
Prince of Peace. You will be called Wonderful
Counselor.
Every mighty God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. You're my Prince of Peace. You're the Prince of Peace.
Let's take our seats again for the reading of Scripture.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
I have traveled many of heaven.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
As the Macbeth family comes forward to light all of the candles of the Christmas wreath, they will light for the first time the center candle, which is the Christ candle. And traditionally that represents Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who came incarnate, dwelling among us. And as they do that, we'll sing Away in a Manger.
Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Let's stand together and sing with the angels.
the mountains in reply, echoing the joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this joyous strains come on, silent as the tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Excelsis Deo. See within the manger light, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, win us in your Savior's birth.
Let's sit down.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Stand together and sing.
Star of love. crown him again, King forever, ceasing never over us all to reign. Praising all men, raising,
worshiping God on high.
Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Where is mine? Bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrow and sighing, pleading, dying, sealed in the sorrowful tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, word to earth replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Let's take our seats.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
The skies don't seem to be as dark as usual. The stars seem brighter than they've been before. And deep within I feel my soul is stirring, as though my hope has been restored. The shepherds say they've heard the voice of angels, confirming rumors spread across the land, that a child protected well from Herod's anger is our Father's song and the Son of Man. Love is raining down on the world tonight. There's a presence here, I can tell. that peace on earth is not so out of reach. If we can find the grace and mercy and forgiveness He has come to save, He is all of these. Love is raining down on the world tonight. There's a presence here I can tell. God is in us, God is for us, God is with us, Emmanuel. He's the Savior we have been praying for. In our humble hearts He will dwell. God is in us, God is for us, God is with us,
It's beautiful. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son to be among us, to be with us. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you will be through your Spirit present here tonight as you are. It is because of you that we are here, and we are here to glorify your name. And I pray, Spirit, that you will help us to glorify Jesus, because we are without hope, if we have no hope in Christ. And so, Father, I just ask that you would help us this Christmas season to be overwhelmed with the reality that you have accomplished every promise in Christ Jesus. You sent your Son to make a way of salvation that is absolutely possible for all who would have faith and trust in him. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for living and dying and rising again and living even to this very day to pray for us and to intercede for your children. So we thank you for all that you've done, and we praise your name tonight through every song that we sing. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a friend of mine who recently asked me why we give gifts to each other rather than to Jesus, since, after all, it is his birthday. And it got me to thinking, and the first thought that came to my mind was, well, I know parcel delivery companies have come a long way in the past few years, but there are still some difficulties with heavenly deliveries. It was the first thought that came to my mind. I didn't say that. But there are some interesting reasons why we don't give gifts to Jesus at Christmas. And just kind of thinking through this, it occurred to me the reason we don't is because Jesus came to give and not to receive. And I came across a verse that really just got me to thinking about Emmanuel coming. Jesus has come to be a part of our world. He lived and he died. And the miracle that Jesus lived among us, walked in human flesh, just grabbed a hold of me again. And I've been praying that this season, that would be a reality that would settle on each one of us, knowing every promise, as 1 Corinthians 1 says, every promise in Scripture is yes in Christ Jesus. If you think about every promise in Scripture being yes to us through Christ, that's amazing. And I don't want us to miss the glory of Christ. Because as we light candles and think that Jesus has been the light to come into this world, that's what we're reminded of. And why did he come to shine his light into this world, except that this is a dark place? And there's lots of darkness all around. But Jesus came to this earth to give us the one thing that we needed most, which was a personal relationship with God the Father. That's why he came. John 17, 25 says, Father, this is Jesus speaking. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus has been in a loving relationship with the Father since before the world was ever even created. He enjoyed an intimate, eternal relationship of love with God the Father, and he wants us to be there with him. Did you hear that? Father, I desire that they whom you have given me may be where I am. Isn't that sweet? Jesus wants us to be where he is, to be with him, to experience the love of the Father, that relationship, and to see his glory. Jesus wants us to be able to see his glory. 2 Corinthians tells us that the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded the eyes of unbelievers so that we would not see the glory of Christ. So I pray, and tonight we prayed it before the service, that God would remove the blinders of all of us to enable us to see the glory of Christ. So what keeps us from it? What keeps us from seeing the glory of Christ? And the Bible tells us that sin is what separates us from God the Father. He is holy and just, and we are not. And we have all sinned. We've all told a lie. All of us have stolen. We've thought bad thoughts that are not even worth repeating, filled with hate and anger and everything else. So we have all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There it is again. The glory of God, what God is after. And the Bible tells us no one is without sin on many different occasions. And most people will probably admit, yes, if you press them, yeah, I've told a lie, I've twisted the truth, I've deceived a little bit. But most of us who would admit that we have sinned really don't think it's all that bad. Yes, we've sinned, we've a little white lie, or yes, I've made a mistake, but it's really not that bad. But we really don't have any idea how evil sin is. No matter how small or how big we try to make it out to be, the fact is, every sin is worthy of death. Every sin. Sin corrupts us to the very core of our souls. In fact, the psalmist writes, truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. Because God decided long ago that every soul that sins must die, we're in trouble because we've all sinned. And so since we are all under condemnation, we cannot save ourselves. No man can ransom his soul to God. So what do we do? What did all of Israel yearn for so many years? A Messiah. We look to God to send a Messiah who will come and save us and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's why we have such joy at this time of the year. That's why there are smiles on our faces, because we know God has sent a Savior. A baby, he came as a baby, but he grew to be a man who lived and perfectly obeyed God the Father. He never disobeyed. And so here's the verse that I want you to remember. It's Mark 10:45. Jesus says, The Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I'll read that one more time for you. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is why we don't give gifts to Jesus. He came to serve, not be served. He came to give and not to receive. He came to be the gift giver, not the gift receiver. And what has he given us? He has given us his own righteous life. He's given us the gift of righteousness, which we didn't deserve. And yet, that's exactly what he came to do. Live a perfectly obedient life so we could have joy in knowing that we put our faith in his righteousness, not our own. So when we fall short, we look to him. And do you know how many people testify that Jesus was not guilty of sin? I just thought about it. All of his friends testified that he was not guilty of sin, which we would expect. I'll give you one example. Peter said, after spending 3 years watching Jesus day and night, he called him the holy and righteous one in a sermon. And also in 1 Peter, he said, Jesus committed no sin. Okay, but we expect that from friends. But what about his enemies? What do your enemies say about you? Especially this time of year. What'd you get your enemy for Christmas? Do you know Jesus said to love your enemies? Okay, that's all right. We'll let you think about that. But what did his enemies say about him? Pilate said about Jesus, I find in him no guilt deserving death. Judas, who betrayed him, said, I have betrayed innocent blood. He's innocent. The Roman centurion who watched Jesus die said, truly, this was the Son of God. And the man who was crucified next to Jesus said, this man has done nothing wrong. This was the gift of righteousness. Everyone saw it in Jesus' life. The guy was absolutely unique. He was the Son of God. And we rejoice in that. And the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's exactly what Jesus came to do, is to be sin for us so that we could be righteousness. He didn't have any sin, and yet he laid down his life for sinners. We had no righteousness, and yet by faith, if we trust in Christ, that very righteousness of God can be given to us. So he gives us the gift of righteousness. He also gives us the gift of reconciliation, which to be reconciled means to be brought back to God. It's exactly what he came to do, to bring us back. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, and making his appeal through us, God implores you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled. I want to implore you to make sure that you are reconciled to God. Jesus has lived a perfect life, and we trust him. He obeyed completely, and he rose from the dead to prove that he was sin. He came as a little baby, obeyed, never disobeyed his father. Can you imagine never disobeying your parents? Parents, how would it be to never be disobeyed? This is what Jesus did. And that perfect obedience is through the message that we preach is that reconciliation. We can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. What an amazing gift that is. And it was God's will to reconcile us through Jesus. That's his will. Listen, can Jesus do God's will? A good question. John 6:40, Jesus said, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's God's will that you trust through Jesus to have eternal life. And I hope you realize what an amazing gift that is. And I'm afraid that we don't realize the gift that we have through Christ. I think it's so easy to miss it. We have a gift of righteousness. We have a gift of reconciliation. And I hope that every one of us will realize the gift we have been given, what a precious gift, before it's too late. A few years ago, we bought a van, and we were given three sets of keys. And on one of the sets of keys was a little five-digit plate, a five-digit number on this little plate. I had no idea what that was, and it was pretty curious. And I looked around. I couldn't find any use for the thing. And after a couple of months, I don't like little trinkets on the keychain. And I thought, this must have been some sort of dealer identification, so I'm just going to throw this thing away. So I threw it away, threw the little tag away. Had the vehicle in for service a few months later, and I just thought, I'll just ask this technician, "What? Do you know when we bought this car, there was a little five-digit number on one of the key rings, and do you have any idea what that is?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, that's the key, the number that we use to identify each unique key for the vehicle. So in case you lose your keys, it's really easy for us to make a new key." And I said, "Well, what would happen, let's say, if someone didn't exactly have that little key tag, that number, and needed to replace a key?" He said, "It's a big deal." He said, "If you have that number, it's really easy. We can replace your key for about $150. But if we don't have that number, then we have to rekey the whole car, and it's about $1,500. I said, "Well, thank God I'm not one of those people that don't have that little key, right?" I had no idea what I had until it was gone. Now, praise God, I've never lost the keys. But I don't want to stand before God and say, "Where's my key to heaven?" and ask for it too late. The Bible says that Jesus is God's only Son, and through faith in Him, we can be reconciled to God and have eternal life. Only through faith in Jesus Christ. Don't miss the gift of Christ. Don't miss being reconciled to God. So on behalf of Christ tonight, I implore you, be reconciled to your Father who has sent His only Son, whom He loved before the foundation of the world, so that you could know Him and spend eternity with Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for sending Your Son. And Jesus, I pray that You will give every heart in this room the capacity to love You to the degree that You deserve. We want to exalt You, and we want to trust You. So God, give us the faith to believe in You. Overcome our doubts. Overcome our questions. And let us rest in You. Jesus, You said, "Come to You. You will give us rest for our souls." May every soul in this room find rest by asking You to forgive our sins so that we can be reconciled to You. Father, I praise You, and Jesus, help us all to love You. It's by faith in Your name we pray. Amen. Michael?
Thank you all for coming here on Christmas Eve. My name is Michael. I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here, and I just wanted to extend a thank you as well as a Merry Christmas, and I'm glad that you chose to come here on Christmas Eve and celebrate with us. The very thing that Todd just spoke of, the great gift that God has given humanity in His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't know what tomorrow or tonight will look like for you or tomorrow, but I imagine it's probably going to get a bit chaotic. Tonight, I'll leave here, and we'll step in. I was told when I was a little boy that I could come up with my own traditions, so I didn't have to carry on the traditions of my parents, which was always a very fancy china, you know, nice ham meal, all that kind of stuff. And so I had in my head, one day, I'll create my own traditions. And so I love cheese pizza. And so my tradition with my family, now that I will encourage my kids to carry on to their families, is Christmas Eve is a night you cheese pizza and as much Diet Pepsi as you can handle. We'll leave here and we'll step into our own tradition, as I imagine you have your own traditions as well. Tomorrow morning, I imagine you'll do a lot of gift swapping, a lot of gift giving, a lot of gift receiving. I imagine someone's going to knock on my head tomorrow around 5 a.m. saying, "Dad, it's time to wake up. There's some presents under the tree." So tomorrow will be a lot of chaos of gift giving, receiving. Then you have Friday, the 26th, 27th, and 28th, the weekend, and most of us are probably going to be returning half of the things that we got, trying to get the better deals and exchange things. Why am I sharing this with you? Is because when you leave this place, it's a good chance that in the midst of a lot of joy/chaos, of the different parties and the gifts and the shopping and swapping, that you'll miss what I hope you'll step into in this moment right now. And I don't want anyone to leave this place without stepping into this moment and this time and this place and this space right here, right now. And so before we leave, I just wanted to, as best I can, if I could give everyone here a gift, I would. But the gift I would love to give you is just a gift of silence. Just a gift just to sit with what you've seen tonight, with what you've heard, with what you've witnessed. And just sit with it. Todd has done a great job tonight of just sharing God's heart for humanity. God's heart for you is that you would be in a right relationship with Him. I just want you to sit with that truth. And if you're here tonight and you've made a decision to receive that gift of life, life eternal, but also life now. The Bible says that Jesus has awakened our hearts, has awakened our souls. If you've received this incredible gift that God's given you, then just sit in this silence and just say thank you. Just sit in that silence. And if you've not received that gift, then let tonight be the night that you say, God, I want to receive. If you have a gift for me, that I can have hope, I can have peace, I can be right with you, both now and forevermore, then much like you would receive someone's gift, just open your hands wide and say, God, please, I want to receive this gift that you have. Open your heart to the gift that God has for you. So before we leave, before the madness of tonight and tomorrow and this weekend, step into this moment now. Enjoy and embrace just a minute or two of just silence. And reflect on these things that have been said and shared and witnessed tonight. Father, I pray that there would be a great quiet that would fall upon this room. And in this silence, in this moment, in this time, our hearts would be engaged, but they would be still. So, Father, please let a quiet fall upon each of us. Let our minds find a moment of stillness. Let our hearts find a moment of peace. And let us enter into this time of just silence. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of silence. And we thank you more than anything for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to bring a gift to each of us, that we would have life, life eternal, that we would have sins be forgiven, we would have hope and peace, that we can be made right with you. Jesus Christ in John chapter 8, verse 12 said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Tonight as we finish, we want to finish by singing the song Silent Night. And I will light a candle. There is some candles underneath your chairs. So go ahead and grab those. I will light a few people's candles. I would, parents, help your kids with this. And make sure you light your candle from someone else's so we're not making a trip to the ER from here. But as we sing this song, Silent Night, continue just to reflect in this moment, in this time, how great our God is, what he has done for us in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the light of the world." Would you stand with me as we sing?
Verse 1 again, and most of you, I think, you know the words. Would you just turn towards each other? You should see what I can see. It's a beautiful sight. Let's just sing it together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm,
all is bright,
all is bright, round yon virgin, holy infant, so tender.
Jesus, thank you that you're the light of the world. And that as we stand each one with a light in front of us, shining upon our faces and shining upon one another, would you be the light that we need for this particular season, for this particular Christmas? Father, we want to be able to lay down the things that we carried into this place and put them to one side just for a day or two. And we want to enter into that silence that Michael spoke of. And we want to be able to embrace all that you are as the light of the world. Lord, would you make your face to shine upon us, that we might see you in all of your glory, that we might receive your righteousness and be reconciled to you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray these things. Just blow your candles out after that. And we will close our service with that and thank the Lord for the light of the world. Amen. Have a great Christmas. Have a great day tomorrow. We'll see you on Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your week together.
You want me to start?
Joy to the world. Sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. All its sins and sorrows go, the thorns in faster ground. He makes who makes his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Of his love.